96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton, and streaming live on WSLR.org or on the WSLR app. It's free. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, and I'm your host. A huge thanks for my fill-in soundboard operator, Leon, our program manager. Thanks so much for coming in this morning. And our goal here on the Healthy Living Hour is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, everything said here today is uncensored, can be extremely diverse, and does not necessarily reflect the views of WSLR, nor their staff or volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here on the Healthy Living Hour is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Hello and good morning, everybody. Just want to take just a little brief time to introduce our program today. And while we're still finishing prepping here, if you wouldn't mind just listening to a little music, and we'll be right back. Leon, you want to say a few words about the song you chose, please?
Sure. So we just heard a little selection from Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble called Riviera Paradise. It is my go-to song for about 20-plus years whenever I'm feeling stressed and need instant music magic to help relax, and it immediately puts me on Relax Ocean. It makes me feel so good, and I'm glad I got to share that this morning.
Thank you, Leon. And again, this is Rebecca with the Healthy Living Hour. I am here live in Studio A, and I'd just like to share a little something one of our founding members wrote. They started a newer community radio station up in the colder area of Michigan, and what they wrote was this: you can recognize a grassroots community radio station anywhere in the country. There is a freshness you'll not hear anywhere else, due largely to the variety of voices and connections the station has with its community. The non-commercial nature of these stations allows us independence uncommon in media controlled by commercial or corporate interest. And with that, I mean, and this is what I love about this place, and it's so rare to have a community station. I personally just treasure it. And, you know, the connection and collaboration within the community, that's what communities are all about, and that's what we need to foster more of, and that's what I want to foster more of. So today's topic, we're going to talk about building mental wellness, and we have a local Dr. Janet Taylor, who's a psychiatrist, a self-care coach, entrepreneur, mother and lifestyle columnist, and has many coaching programs that are an integration of her years as a medical doctor, life coach, and mindfulness expert. Dr. Taylor, would you just give us a bit of your background and your journey and what brought you here? And first of all, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I loved everything you said from Leon about music being meditative and bringing you down, and certainly what you said about the need for community. So my journey actually starts with my parents. Both of my parents are from Lexington, Kentucky. My father was the first black student to graduate from the University of Kentucky in 1960, which was no small feat. If you think about it, especially from a civil rights standpoint, no one would hire him in Lexington. He was third in his class. And we moved to Chicago. That's where I was born, or my parents moved to Chicago. That's where I was born. And my formative years were spent there. I went to the University of Chicago Lab School. My mother was a teacher, went to Howard University, so education was always paramount. I'd say when I was about 11 or 12, I learned that my grandfather in the 1920s, my father's father, was a student at the University of Iowa in their pharmacy school. There were four black male students. He ran out of money, went to his brothers to try to get money, was unable to get money. Eli Lilly said that they would pay for him to finish pharmacy school if my grandfather would move to Indianapolis when he graduated. Both of my father's parents were from Lexington, Kentucky. My grandmother had less than a high school education. She refused to move. My grandfather dropped out, and he was a janitor, and she was a cook, and that's what they did till they died. So I always had this sense of wanting to achieve something professionally, which is what I knew I'd be a doctor, lawyer, something more than going past undergrad. And when I say something more than that, not knocking folks who do not go to college or graduate school, but I always knew for me that would be it. And in that vein, my parents moved back to Lexington after my grandfather died. I went undergrad at the University of Louisville, med school at the University of Louisville, did a year of internal medicine, and then went into psychiatry. And primarily, my psychiatric practices consisted of working in under-resourced communities, worked at Harlem Hospital for 11 years, worked at Rikers, worked in the Bronx. And when I moved here to Florida, I've had a house here in Sarasota for about 21 years, but moved here full-time 9 years ago, started working for Centerstone and doing community mental health, and worked at the Manatee County Jail and did that until the last year. I worked for the ACLU nationally for a year, but I'm going back to my clinic in a week.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you for being here. And let's talk about this. So our focus is going to be on mental health, mental wellness. How is mental wellness different from mental health? Can you kind of factor that for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, when we think about mental health, often we think about mental illness, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar disorder, substance abuse, all of those pathologies, so to speak. But when you think about mental health, instead of thinking just about mental illness, which is important, and many mental illnesses are treatable, we also have to think about mental wellness. What does it mean to wake up, even if you feel a certain way, and being able to shift that so that you can go about your day? What does it mean to know that you may be at risk for something? You may have parents who have a history of depression or substance abuse, or had trauma, which we know a number of people have had. What can you do to prevent what's happened to you into determining how you function? So mental wellness really is about making a conscious choice and looking at all those same activities as we do working out or making ourselves better in other ways, understanding that our brain is our best ally during these times, especially with so much chaos and uncertainty. And how can we maximize our mindset so that we can really achieve what we need to? And achievements aren't things that are naturally measured in success, but achievements in terms of how we can take ourselves just incrementally and get to a better place. And no matter how much trauma you've been exposed to, no matter how bad the day was before, there's always that opportunity to make those changes to really improve your outset. And certainly that's what mental wellness is.
Yeah. And I always like the saying, you know, we can only control like our thoughts and our actions. And,
and there is that saying, right? Your words become your thoughts become your beliefs, and your beliefs become your actions. So, like, the importance of the narrative that we tell ourselves, again, no matter what happened to you, but how do you put yourself in that? And then what do you say to yourself? What are those words and thoughts? Because they matter.
Yeah. And I mean, as you say, you know, you brought it up. I mean, it's just the elephant in the room. We are in a time of great chaos. And, you know, I had a previous guest on who was into more of the Chinese astrology, like the zodiacs. And we're in this year of the wood snake. And the last time we had this exact like energy, whatever you want to call it, you know, in that year was 1965, mm-hmm. and that was civil rights. Mm-hmm. And we had peaceful protests, but it was still met with a lot of non-peaceful opposition. And so we're in kind of maybe that same climate. And then another snake year, not the same one as this, but then there was the fall of the Berlin Wall. And so there's, you know, we're in a high, you know, I think we all sense it, and we kind of are like, oh, what do we do? But I think it too, like you say, and this is why I really wanted to do this program with you, is like, there are things we can do and how to protect and take care of, like you say, our brains, our thinking, our thoughts, our emotional well-being, mm-hmm. through it, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what petri dish we're swimming in at the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I didn't know that connection between the snake and the wood snake, but it makes sense, right? Because history does repeat itself. And, you know, as you mentioned, now is the time, again, no matter what happened in the past, to use our brain and, importantly, our mind, right? When you think about the brain, our brain is really the computer, the hardware, but our mind is the software in terms of taking in our feelings, taking in our past experiences, what we want to happen, to do something differently. And, you know, unfortunately, big supporter of technology. However, I think there's this notion that we are disconnected from what we can actually do and what our power is. And so now is the opportunity to tap into that power, knowing that you can have all the thoughts and beliefs that you want, but this is the time for action. And so to that parallel about the times that we've had in 1965, you know, how do we use ourselves, you know, I think we have an innate determination to achieve that's there, right? That gets layered with, you know, things that people say because of who we love, things that get layered with who we are because we may be trans or whatever the color of our skin is, and those beliefs. And how do we peel those off and get back to what is this innate fire within us that allows us to really express what we want, to work for it? And now is the time to really tap into that, to connect with like-minded people and really, you know, be the change that we want to see. And it's only going to come with action. It's only going to come with sacrifice. But we can't wallow in despair and just watch what's happening. we need to be involved in our communities, you know, whether it's in your neighborhood or your schools or, you know, health clinics, and whatever's important to you, now is the time to stand up and fight for it.
Yeah, there are so many opportunities around us, and if you can't find one, create one. And, you know, I think that's just like, they're out there, and there are people that want to connect. There are people that want to collaboratively work together for the betterment of our communities.
Yeah, no, and it's true. But, you know, it's hard to create something without self-reflection and without creating that time to think about what it is. And so much is happening to us that people feel like they don't have power. And you always have power. No one can take away your power. And that's where I think mental health and mental wellness really comes in, because instead of staying in this box that people may label you with, if you have a mental illness, right, and we know there's stigma with that, or if you are in a population that people think doesn't deserve whatever they have, right, or whatever they've worked for, or, you know, you are in a class of a citizenship that, you know, people label you or ascribe their own negative feelings onto you. Like, it's up to you to break through that so that you can fight for what you deserve and your civil rights and civil liberties, and, you know, find people who support you, because there are a lot of people who still support. But sometimes, you know, you have to get out of that box of waiting, literally break through and really start making noise to attract what it is you need.
Yeah. And I think we're going to circle back. This will tie in together in just a bit. But Ken, how do you feel? Do you feel that our country is in the midst of a mental health crisis? I mean, I'm seeing a lot, you know, I see a change. I've been in practice for 15 years, and the demographic, everything's changed, and the suffering is greater. It's harder, and people are struggling. I'm seeing such a change, night and day in 10 years.
I mean, statistics show us, right? I mean, suffering has always been a part of the human condition.
Right.
But what I find is an inability for people to make their way out of that. There's a helplessness and a powerlessness that, in some cases, I think is deliberate by forces in control. And then people feel like they don't have the wherewithal or arsenal, if you will, to the mental arsenal to fight back. And so that's evidenced by the numbers of people increasingly who report that they're stressed. It's evidenced by the number of people, I'm sure you get the same calls, looking for a therapist or looking for a coach or trying to find a way. And then we look at the functioning of our young people, who, you know, certainly COVID-19, I think, you know, the racial reckoning, I can't really call it a reckoning, but I think increased racial awareness that happened post-George Floyd, and certainly this, you know, really deliberate attack against DEI, an attack against immigrants that's really meant to shake people to their core to feel like they're not worthy. And we've seen this before, you know, it's patterned throughout history. But what most people don't realize is when you witness those kind of verbal attacks, when you witness people who are discriminated against, you witness racism, you witness bias at schools or, you know, in communities, on playgrounds, it impacts everybody. And so it's not just between, you know, the victim and the perpetrator. Everyone is impacted. So I think that's what we're feeling now. And hopefully, you know, we'll shake off this sense of helplessness and really understand that we are better together. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, one group that only supports one group. Like, when we support everyone, then we can lift everyone. And that's, you know, hopefully that's what we will learn. And sometimes you have to tear things apart to get to that. And we'll see what happens. But I think slowly, as more people are impacted by policies or by thoughts, you know, people will realize we have more in common.
Yeah. And thank you. You have just this wonderful way of transforming, you know, a tough, you know, some toughness into, you know, something positive and encouraging. And I wish I had more eloquent way to say that, but thank you. That's such a gift.
Rebecca, 75% of our conscious thoughts are negative, 75. Mm. So going to the worst that could happen is easy. The work is looking at it, you can't dismiss it, but looking at it and seeing what's right, what did I learn, even out of a situation that's difficult, and then looking at history, looking at our ancestors, and pulling ourselves up to say, you know what, I can try, I'm going to do it, they did it, I can as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And if you're just joining us, we were with Dr. Janet Taylor here in Sarasota talking about mental wellness. And Leon, this is a good break for, do you have a public service announcement for us, please?
I do. Actually, also Youth is a nonprofit charity that provides peer support services, educational programs, advocacy, and referrals for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and questioning youth ages 13 to 24, their families and friends, and community, thereby enhancing self-esteem, promoting healthy dialogue, and increasing awareness of sexual minority youth issues. More information about services and upcoming events available at alsoyouth.org or call 941-951-2576.
Thank you. And again, you are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. Also streaming anywhere on WSLR.org or on the free WSLR app. We encourage you, if you like what you hear, if you love what you hear here, please share it with your family, friends, anywhere. You know, again, this is just such a rare opportunity we have at a community uncensored radio station to, you know, have the opportunity to be here to talk with local people who are in the trenches, you know, doing the hard work, getting the word out there. And that's what really WSLR is all about. And one of the things I just appreciate so much about this radio station and this, my pile of people here. But again, we're with Dr. Janet Taylor. And Dr. Taylor, so you talked about we have the capacity, you know, by self-reflection, kind of going introspection, going deep, really, but that requires getting quiet typically, and then to break through our own obstacles that maybe we have there that don't need to be there. Can you share a little bit about how to do that? Like, where does one start?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think certainly when you are quiet, there's that opportunity. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is the capacity for self-reflection, the capacity for meditation can actually happen when you incorporate whatever's going on where you are. And sometimes I started anger management classes at Harlem, right? And, you know, you could be on the subway or you could be in the midst of about to engage in something and you have to think, all right, I could get arrested for this. Is this what I want to do? And you take a deep breath, and with that deep breath, start thinking about using your senses. What am I seeing? What am I thinking? What am I tasting? What am I feeling? And doing some counting that allows you to basically pause and stop. And so, yes, you know, thinking about what we need or what we need to do is great when you're, you know, on this sandy beach and you're just listening to the waves, but most people don't have that opportunity. But what we do have is the opportunity to just really be mindful in the sense of being aware of what we're thinking and feeling, and realizing what we need to shift. And that could happen when we're walking to the bus or in our car or anywhere. But the key is to really, really tap into the sense of ourselves and the gift that we have with our breath, the gift that we have of our awareness, using our senses. You know, there's walking meditations where you can just focus on how your feet feel or what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and what you're feeling. But the key is to tap into yourself. You know, Jude and Jordan said, you know, basically, like, we are the ones we've been waiting for. The Calvary is not coming. It's up to us. And that starts with really being aware of ourselves, certainly of our surroundings, aware of, you know, what certainly could harm us. And there's a lot that could, but there also is a lot that can help us. Our brain, you know, 3% of our body weight utilizes 25% of our blood glucose and oxygen, again, is our biggest ally during this time because it allows us to be aware. Our brain is always constantly thinking about our survival. You know, every time we hear something, the brain assesses whether what we're hearing is a threat or a reward. And so using that, knowing that we have this really system that's within us that will help keep us safe, and then how do we use our mind? How do we use our experiences to really target it to what's within our resources and then what we can do and what's within our control? And that's, I think, what this time really is about. How do you shut down the noise? I mean, personally, I've been reading a lot, watching Netflix, watching movies, really staying away from the media in the sense of just being inundated with, I think, is noise, right? Selectively reading articles that I think will benefit me or give me some awareness. But we have that power. We don't have to take everything in. We can recognize what it is we need and go to sources like this radio station and hear things that are positive, hear things that are uncensored, hear about resources for youth that may be questioning or gay, lesbian, trans, that really help lift us up and know that, you know, there's never, ever been one source only of information. How do we find the multitude and to really not get lost in, you know, I think a deliberate distraction. I think intentional ways of making people feel that they're lesser than. Like, how do we take that and not let us wound us or incapacitate us to the point of hopelessness or powerlessness, and really just stay rooted in, you know, our ancestral history. You know, for Black people who survived the Middle Passage, like, in our DNA is strength. In our DNA is survival. And so how do we use that in a way that allows us to not just be resilient? You know, you think about resilience, here we are in Florida, palm trees that bend that don't break. But how do we allow that to cause resistance? You know, resilience in many ways gets you to your baseline. We want to be above our baseline. And then that is a resistance of ideas that don't serve us, a resistance of, you know, what is told to us, and to be in a way that allows us to fight for what we want. And we wouldn't fight if we didn't have hope. We wouldn't be in the struggle, you know, if we weren't able to rise against despair. And so what is that within us that allows us to do that? And that, in my opinion, is what mental wellness is all about. No matter what has happened to you, no matter what you're living with, you still have that potential and ability to say, you know, no more.
No more. Wow. Those are such powerful words. Thank you so much for this conversation, Dr. Janet. And what would you believe? So yeah, you know, like the brain, that it utilizes so much energy and, you know, the blood glucose. What do you, I have some thoughts on being in holistic healthcare, what some things I would recommend to people, and then you have many others. But like, so some of this will start with breath, you know, getting oxygen to the brain. So that talks with what I call movement, nutrition, exercise, even walks out in nature. I love to drive out to Mayaca and just get in with the trees and walk around in the silence, mm-hmm. and the, you know, no traffic, but the sound of nature. It's so grounding. And then food, you know, the blood sugar, you know, just cleaning up our food choices, our fuel, mm-hmm. you know, what are we really fueling our bodies with and our minds? Is it good for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our brain is the first organ in our body that's a recipient of whatever we put into our mouths, as you know, mm-hmm. well, that's your practice. And so when we're thinking about, you know, how do we save ourselves? We have to think about brain health. And like many people think working out is so you can look better in your clothes. No, working out is so that you can keep your brain running as effectively as it can. When we think about how do we prevent dementia, looking at the role that diabetes plays, hypertension plays, and how we oxygenate our brain, which our brain signals to everything in our body, how we're functioning. So you're right. It's what we put in our mouths, how much sleep we get. Positive thoughts can change our brain. You know, how do we incorporate that, being, you know, sleeping well, all of those other factors. And so it really is about being aware of that so that we really can resist, right, in the sense of being able to change, really deflect, you know, it's almost like a shield in terms of negativity coming towards us. We can't control what other people say or what they think, but what we have control of is how Teflon we are. How do we let it like really penetrate our core, or how do we turn it away? Mm-hmm. And our brain and our mindset is what allows us to do that. You know, here in Florida, where there are a lot of older people, you can see in real time how you want to age. And how we want to age is in a way that is really health-focused, not just getting to a certain age. How health healthy are we? Certainly, I mean, I'm 63. For the first time, like, have issues with my hip flexors. And I'm stretching every day and doing Pilates and really focused on, you know, my mobility. And so that's been a real awakening for me.
Yeah, that's great. And what would you say, what are some tips that you have for fostering this mental wellness? Mm-hmm. What are some, just some basic, like, you know, of course, like we talked about movement, mm-hmm. nutrition, you know, wherever we are, there's always room for improvement.
Always.
And you know, patients who just feel like they're kind of hopeless, no, like change one thing, mm-hmm. then change another, then yep. you make it into habits. Yep. And you just keep taking one step up, one step up, one step up.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the word habits. Mm-hmm. You know, so often we think of habits of things that we do, but our habits begin with our thoughts. And so if you find that there's something that's happening in your life, you know, think about your approach to it. And is it a habit just to say, well, that's just going to happen to me, number one. Number two is, you know, 50% of people, Americans, have a diagnosable mental condition. So not to have stigma against yourself if maybe you do feel depressed or sad, maybe you have psychosis or maybe, you know, struggling with substance abuse, and to recognize that treatment's always there. I've always worked in clinics that treat people, whether they have insurance or don't have insurance, can help with medications, can help with assessments. So knowing that, even though I think it's more difficult at accessing mental health treatment because of the demand, it is still there. And whether it's, you know, online, you know, every county has mental health facilities. There's 988 if you're suicidal. SAMHSA has a crisis line that you can call and get references and resources in every community throughout America. There is help for you. And so, you know, if you are a child who's struggling with mental illness, certainly you want to, or something going on, you know, talk to your parents, talk to your guidance counselor. If you're a young adult, the same. As an adult, the same. So we have to lose the stigma, understand treatment is there, and get the help that we need. And also to really pay attention to what our thoughts are like. And no matter how bad it is, certainly, you know, if someone feels suicidal, like they want to hurt themselves, kill themselves, that's an emergency. Not a time to talk to your friends, but to get real help with someone who can assess and help you. Certainly if you feel like you want to hurt somebody else, you know, to get that help. But there's a lot in between, and we really have to lose the stigma, lose the guilt, lose the shame, and talk to professionals whose sole purpose is to help you understand and to get you the treatment that you need. And it's still there. And it's there, you know, it can be found whether you have insurance or not.
Yeah, we don't have to have insurance, you know. I mean, I think we've been kind of we're being gamed on that a lot. And I think people are waking up that they're paying a lot for insurance and they're not getting a whole heck of a lot for it, mm-hmm. you know, the benefit for it. But so what are, you mentioned some resources, and locally here, what are some other things that people say the underinsured or uninsured, where can they go?
Yeah, certainly. If you're a family member or have a family member who's suffering, NAMI, the National Alliance of Mentally Ill, is a great resource for parents and families. 988 is a national number where you can call that will also, you know, has crisis counselors and will help you get resources. I work at Centersona, Florida. We have 5 locations, in, 3 in Sarasota, 2 in Bradenton. Clinics that, again, you come in, we will assess you, see you whether you have insurance or not. There are other, we do medication assistant treatment for people addicted to alcohol and opiates. If you present at any emergency room, whether it's Sarasota Memorial or Blake, any hospital, they by law have to see you and should try to help you get what you need. So you can make a request to see social workers. There's the 1-800, I think it's, oh, I should know this, 1-800-something-HELP. That's SAMHSA line that you can call and get resources. And then going online and Googling mental health treatment for if you are uninsured will bring up a lot of different resources. But the key is that help is there. And, you know, it's really up to you in many cases to find it. Often people get referred for psychiatric or mental health treatment when other people may notice something. But, I mean, most people know. And so just as you would if you, you know, were not feeling well or, you know, kept throwing up, you know, we have to look at our brain as something that shows us signs and symptoms that we have to pay attention to. For example, you know, all of us may get sad or depressed at times, but if it lasts longer than 2 weeks and you have trouble doing what you ordinarily do, or, you know, worst case, you feel suicidal or find that you're trying to compensate with alcohol or drugs, then you may have a depression. So depression's treatable. You know, most people don't realize the most common aspect of bipolar disorder is depression. So just recognizing that if you have sadness that persists, interrupts your functioning, you can't concentrate, you know, you may feel more irritable, not sleeping, overeating, all of those things, to just talk to somebody and see what's going on.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I think too, like our child population and adolescent population is just going through so much. I know I have a number of friends who are local school teachers, and some of the stories they've shared with me, it's just heartbreaking, you know. And
our children are suffering.
They are suffering.
They have difficulty communicating and playing with each other. They feel isolated. They, you know, don't understand what's going on. And so as a family, and family, oh, thank you, Leon. So the number I could not remember for help is 1-800-662-HELP. Again, 1-800-662-HELP. And it's amazing. They will talk to you. They have crisis counselors and also give you referrals wherever you are. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
But our children are suffering. They, as parents, are on their own devices and not talking to each other. So, again, there's never been as critical a time to, when your kids come home and they're safe, get them to put their devices away and spend some time talking to them, ask them how their day was, checking in, telling them about your life, you know, issues that you may have had when you were their age, and figuring out how they really handle stress and anxiety, and teaching them to speak up, you know, that, you know, no matter what, you know, how important we think peers are, the most trusted and necessary people in your kids' lives or yourselves as parents or caregivers. So we need to take that back and really pay dedicated time to our children, because they are just bundles of nerves and anxiety, and it carries through and impacts their certainly, you know, childhood formative years and into teen. So, like, stop and pay attention and start talking to our children.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm thinking back when people are talking to me about these things, it's like, oh my gosh, I never had anything like this growing up. I was outside drinking water out of the garden hose. Parents probably, we just knew we had to be home when the lights went on.
You didn't have devices.
We were in safe communities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what made them safe is that other parents and adults were looking at their devices, and they were looking around and checking in. And you always had this sense that there were eyes on you, right? Mm-hmm. Not eyes on a screen, but eyes on you.
Oh, there were always eyes on us.
Yeah,
and there's so much of that. You know, and this is kind of a good segue to get, you are a co-author of a book called The Courageous Classroom. And can you share, I mean, I think we need this now more than ever, sadly. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about that a bit,
please? So before I moved to Florida, I lived in New York and had the real privilege of appearing on a lot of national TV, talking about the psychology of, and Wiley approached me to write a book, and this was pre-COVID, and so to write a book for K-12 educators about basically anything I wanted to, but I came up with The Courageous Classroom and creating a culture of safety for students to learn and thrive. And so when I started writing it, because it was for K-12 educators, understanding I'm not a teacher, I wanted a co-author. So Jed Deary-Berry, who was amazing teacher of the year in South Carolina, mm-hmm. gay, and that's only relevant because he was, as a gay man, he was bullied as a child, but even as a gay teacher who really advocated in South Carolina, was bullied by other teachers, and just an amazing voice. And we worked together and wrote this book. So it was a terrific experience, but really centered around the fact that, you know, when children come to school, their day starts at home. So how do we minimize stress and anxiety, and certainly avoid trauma before they get to school? What happens on the way to school, within school? And then really the key is to look at how their brains are, you know, learning and formulated, and how we can input into them to give them the best advantages, knowing that education is the only way for most. You know, the biggest predictor of healthcare outcome is level of education. And just, you know, if we ever are able to level the playing field, you know, it starts with having a good foundation, and education is a key part.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. And I look forward to reading this book.
I should have brought you one.
Yeah, next time.
I'll send you one.
Oh, great. Thank you. So do you have any more positive tips for people listening that they can do just on the day-to-day? I know, like you mentioned, like, hey, the mindfulness, you don't have to sit maybe on a pillow in a quiet room, you know, on a in Zen, you know, yeah, with your legs. It can be at any moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. I once had a Tao master share. He said, you know, what's in meditation, like, what's better, the longer the better or the shorter the better, you know? And there's people who are like, oh, I meditate for 6 hours a day, you know, whatever. But anyway, he kind of said, you know, the shorter the better, how you can just lessen that gap where you can just get to calm and peace and centeredness, mm-hmm, the quicker the better. And how do we do that? It's not in the quiet. It's out here. Mm-hmm. It's in society. Mm-hmm. It's with our peers. It's in the difficult, mm-hmm, situations, and how to, you know, take captive every thought, how to reel all those things back in and reel our, you know, thinking. Mine goes astray. I'm one of those. I'll be like, Alex, I'll take worst case scenario for 500, please, and I'll live there for as long as you'll let me, you know? But how do we rein that back in? And what are some of those little steps that, mm-hmm, we can then, you know, try to make into habit?
Yeah. Well, I think understanding how the brain works. I mean, as you mentioned, our brain does not like uncertainty, mm-hmm, but frequently will take us there and will take us down this roller coaster of worst case scenarios. So bringing it back to what you know to be true, which means if you're worried about bills, opening the envelope, right? Or opening, you know, for your online, looking at that. If you're worried about your grades, like looking at them and doing something about it. So recognize we do better with certainty, and we do better with evidence-based information. You know, you can't get around all those things we talked about, those things that your grandmother would tell you, you know, eat right, sleep, exercise, positive thinking, who you surround yourself with is important. Togetherness and connection, not on a Zoom, but face-to-face, that's how we, you know, in terms of as we evolved, how we stayed safe, by finding our tribe and those people who care about us. Don't necessarily have to look like us, don't have to be related, but they need to care. So how do you find those communities of connection and making sure that you do that? You know, recognizing that our thoughts matter and the ability that we have to change how we think, that perspective. You know, one example I like to give is, you know, understanding that the separation between our thoughts and feelings. For example, if we were in an airplane and it dropped 500 feet, you're going to get this feeling in the pit of your stomach, and your thoughts going to be like, oh my gosh, like we're going to die, right? If you're a skydiver that jumps off the same plane, gets the same feeling in the pit of your stomach, but your thought is, this is what I paid for. So the same feeling can mean two different things. What do we choose? Do we choose the one that elevates us, or do we choose the one that really posts, you know, and points towards doom and gloom? So recognizing that, you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people who are positive, you know, taking action, paying attention to our habits and our thoughts and what can we do to change them, you know, recognizing when maybe we need a coach, maybe we need a therapist, a social worker, you know, maybe we need, you know, pastoral counseling or someone who can give us a different view about, you know, maybe what we're thinking and help us make sense of what we're thinking. You know, for me, I love to read history in particular about Black women who have overcome, and really paying attention to the factors that allowed them to achieve something. Somebody like Fannie Lou Hamer, who grew up, you know, had less than a third grade education, the youngest of 17 children, who in a time where Black people had no rights, but she led, you know, Black people to the Freedom Democratic Party that really allowed for voting in Mississippi, was beat within an inch of her life, died early at 49, had all these medical conditions, but she kept going. Or Harriet Tubman, who had no education that we know of, but paid attention to the stars, the moon, was the equivalent of a Navy SEAL who was determined to lead folks from slavery to freedom. And Harriet Tubman, I think a lot of people don't realize, was a full-blooded Asante. She was a member of the Asante tribe from Ghana. And there are so many women who were warriors who came out of that time. And so when you think about our DNA, right, you think about the will to survive, it's in us. And so how do we tap into that? And I think also, you know, to understand our own family histories. So ask our grandparents, ask our parents, how do we get our name? Like, what have you overcome yourselves so that we can really build on what it means to elevate yourself through your own history, you know, motivating yourself when you need to, finding help when you need to, but more importantly, understanding the space that we occupy within our bodies is our biggest gift. So how do we keep ourselves healthy, you know, get the help that we need and really fuel ourselves, not just with foods that are good to eat for us, but thoughts and things that make us better.
Yeah. And I think on that, that's really powerful. I like this analogy too. We're kind of like little mini radio stations, each of us. We you know, receive, we're receivers from frequencies, energies, the, you know, what's coming at us by who we're with, but we also are transmitters too. And so I think we need to be cautious and mindful. I know I can tell when, you know, you're around somebody who's angry, frustrated. I mean, you feel it, you know, in your body, and or somebody who's just at ease and peaceful and positive. You feel that too. And so I think, you know, I always like, okay, I just got to turn the channel when I know I'm going in a off direction, a direction I don't want for myself and I don't want for those around me.
No, I love that analogy because at the same time, when we're transmitting, what are we choosing to share? Are we sharing something that's going to uplift, right? Are we sharing even something that may be feedback that may hurt someone, but it's constructive to make them better? And so how do we really, what do we choose to pass on to people, I think is important.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're kind of coming to a close. Do you have anything else that you'd like to offer our listeners?
Well, they should support the radio station.
Yay.
For sure. You know, and I'm sure every dollar or every dime helps. And because I'm a glass half full person, but I mean, the fact that you can have access to something that is uncensored, that allows you to come to your own decision, your own interpretation, I think the way it's going with the FCC is going to be few and far between. So we need to support information that is like what you're doing, and to find those outlets so we don't just caught in just, you know, using your analogy, just receiving, like really being conscious about what it is that we expose ourselves to. And, you know, to always have hope. It's there. And I just think we have to find that space constantly every day of that. And lastly, you said one practice, and that's gratitude. Mm-hmm. If every night you go to bed and you can think about three things that either happened to you or that you did that make you feel grateful, if you can write them down or, you know, note them in some way, I think it's important to have gratitude right now, no matter how hard it is, you know, how hopeless it may feel, just that chance that we have to experience it is really important.
Yeah, and I think that's like our breakfast. We have to start the day that way, like mental food, you know, our thoughts, like, oh, you know, even if I know some of my lowest points in life, I would do this gratitude thing in the morning, like, because I knew I had to. It was the only way to lift myself mm-hmm. up out of a dark hole that I was in for whatever reason. And sometimes that gratitude was, I'm thankful for waking up this morning. I'm thankful I have clean air to breathe. I'm thankful that the sun is shining this morning, you know. And that was often when I was up in 28 below zero in North Wisconsin. Like, what the heck am I doing here? Yeah. Why am I here? But yeah, but that is that gratitude. And anything, in any instance, we can find gratitude, mm-hmm. no matter what it looks like. We can find that silver lining. And we have to seek it out. We have to look for it. And we're going to have to probably pick up some yucky, heavy, dirty rocks to find it. Mm-hmm. But it's there.
It's there. New York Times had an article about the top 11 Roberta Flack songs.
Aww.
And I was listening to them. Some of them I'd never heard, and I thought I'd heard most of hers. But it just reminds you how much music can also tap into your psyche. And when you're feeling down, just putting on, knowing your favorite song or putting it on or learning, you know, listening to something different that you ordinarily may not do is important as well.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Janet. Thank you for this conversation. I think I'd love to have you back and we can go deeper in a little different direction. That would be wonderful. And I love this quote I found by you. A healthy brain and body is critical for meeting the challenges in life. And we are in big challenges. And we just need to start at that ground level and really nurture that and protect ourselves. And so for everybody out there, if they want to find you or want for more information, how do they find you, please?
So my website is drjanettaylor.com, and you can certainly send me an email. I'll be at Centerstone starting March 3rd. You can always call if you need a referral or have questions about anything related to mental health.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for taking time in the hustle and bustle of the morning and getting here and doing this live with us. We really appreciate it. Again, Dr. Janet Taylor. And you are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This program and others are on the archive section of the WSLR website. You can listen to them at any time. And then join us same time, same bat channel here next Tuesday, 9 a.m. for Julie and Jono on Our Changing Environment. They talk about environment, well, health and wellness. And in the meantime, please stay tuned for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!